Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to today's special meeting of the Commonwealth Club of California and the World Affairs Council of Northern California. This is brought to you live from the Fairmont Hotel on historic Nob Hill in beautiful San Francisco. And we also welcome the listeners joining us on national public radio stations around the country. We invite all of our listeners to visit our websites at CommonwealthClub, that's one word, .org, and WACSF.org. And now to introduce our speaker today. Peter Stoyanov was elected president of Bulgaria in November of 1996. He is in the United States today for a seven-day trip and will speak before the United Nations on September 7th in the afternoon. During his tenure as president of Bulgaria, one of his major goals has been restructuring the economy. That includes stabilizing it, lowering inflation, and implementing free market reforms. The Bulgarian government now reports that Bulgaria has sold off 1,200 state businesses into the private sector. That includes the national airlines, banks, and the state telecommunications industry. The economy is projected to grow 4% this year. The government's current budget is in surplus. Mr. Stoyanov's government is working hard to become a member of the European Union and also NATO. It is modernizing its armed forces currently to meet the goal of becoming a NATO member. During the Kosovo crisis, Bulgaria supported NATO's air war over Kosovo and allowed U.S. and allied warplanes to fly over its territory. It is also supporting U.N. economic sanctions against Yugoslavia. Last year in November, President Clinton made the first visit to Bulgaria by an American head of state. He praised Bulgaria, a former communist country, for its commitment to democracy and its economic reforms. He singled out Bulgaria as a good example of how a Balkan country can build a democracy without the kind of ethnic conflict that has devastated Kosovo and Bosnia. President Stoyanov is an attorney. He entered politics in 1990 when he served as the spokesman of the United Union of Democratic Forces, UDF. He served as Deputy Minister of Justice in the first non-communist government in 1992. He served as president of the UDF Legal Council, was elected to the National Assembly in 1994. He is a husband and a father. He and his wife, Antonina Stoyanov, have a son and a daughter. It is my honor now, on that note, to introduce to you the President of the Republic of Bulgaria, Peter Stoyanov.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for this opportunity to speak before you in these important times for a new democratic Bulgaria and for the Balkans. For more than a year now, the map of the Balkans has dominated television screens and front pages. Headlines like "War in the Balkans" have been replaced by "Continuing tensions in the Balkans." Have the Balkans no other, no better face? Have the Balkans no better prospect? Let me speculate on this issue for a moment. My country lies in the heart of the Balkans. Moreover, the name of the Balkan Peninsula stems from the name of the biggest Bulgarian mountain, the Balkan Range. I wonder whether this has made us Bulgarians the most emblematic Balkan nations. And I am not sure who was the first to use the notion Balkans, but it is known that we were referred to as Europeans before we were called a Balkan people. Back in the 7th century BC, the ancient Greek poet and historian Hesiod used the notion Europe for the first time, meaning the lands south of the Balkan Range, today's Greece and the southern parts of my country. Today, 27 centuries later, Bulgaria is a democratic country with political pluralism, freedom of speech and the rule of law, a country building a market economy. Respect for the rights of various ethnic groups occupies a central place in the Bulgarian democratic system. Disrespect is encoded in the historic memory of our people. It may well be that the centuries of suffering have made us tolerant to other ethnicity and religions and sensitive to the issue of human rights. In this century alone, Bulgaria has given two examples of solidarity with persecuted peoples. Back in the 1920s, my country offered safe haven to the Armenians driven away from their places of birth. Once again, in the years of the Second World War, in the face of strong Nazi pressure, Bulgaria rescued its Jews. This unprecedented act of courage was undertaken by Bulgarian members of parliament, intellectuals, the clergy, and finally the entire Bulgarian people. The celebrated director and humanist Steven Spielberg shook the world with his Schindler's List. The Bulgarian Schindler's List is much longer. It contains 50,000 names of Bulgarian Jews rescued from deportation to the death camps. I feel proud of this greatest Bulgarian contribution to the modern civilization. In the light of this, maintaining active, friendly, and good neighborly relations with the countries of the region is a cornerstone of our present foreign policy. We have excellent relations with Romania. Greece and Turkey are our best advocates for NATO membership. Bulgaria and Macedonia have outgrown the prejudices inherited from the past and have built their new relations, applying European standards. They have thus shown that the Balkans are not only Yugoslavia and Milosevic, that the most complicated problems of the region can be solved in a civilized manner. It goes without saying that if the majority of Balkan countries have declared membership in NATO and the EU as their strategic goal, they must waste no time and start applying EU and NATO standards in their relations. This is why I find it totally wrong to put the whole of Southeastern Europe under a common denominator. The end of the military operation in Kosovo was precipitated thanks to the firm stance of solidarity with the international community demonstrated by Yugoslavia's neighbors. These countries, including Bulgaria, have formed a belt of security around the regime of Milosevic, preventing the fire from spilling over. Bulgaria has made its civilizational choice and will follow firmly the path of integration with the European Union and NATO. In order to shorten this path, we will need vitally the solidarity of the democratic world. It would be an unforgivable lack of foresight if countries like Bulgaria fail to be distinguished clearly from the generators of crisis, if their democratic efforts fail to be supported by the world democratic community. If you ask me when and how to give this support, my answer is quite straightforward. Now, without delay and with a clear vision of the integration of the Southeastern European countries with the value system of the Euro-Atlantic community and the living standards of its member states. I must assure you, this is no matter of charity for a poor relative, but an awareness of a common European interest. The definition of this interest has changed completely after the fall of the Berlin Wall. Today, 10 years on, we must admit with regret that East and West proved equally unprepared for the new challenges. It is a bitter conclusion, yet the historic chance lies ahead of us. The processes of economic and political integration can be accelerated and made more palatable for both sides if there is an early and clear awareness that it is not only a regional Balkan problem. This is clearly an all-European problem, as well as an issue for the whole democratic world, and the NATO-led operation has proved precisely that. By the way, my very presence here today is a proof of the same thing. Today's dramatic developments could have been averted. had but a small fraction of the efforts and funds spent now for resolving the humanitarian crisis and ending hostilities in Yugoslavia been timely invested in the economies of the new democracies of Southeastern Europe. In early 1999, Milosevic declared that after 8 years of war and isolation, I would add here and communist dictatorship, the economy of Yugoslavia appears in no worse shape than the economies of democratic Bulgaria and Romania. However, Bulgaria and Romania were left for some time to cope single-handed with the formidable problems inherited from 45 years of communist degradation. A case in point, during the war in Bosnia, Bulgaria behaved as a loyal member of the international community, implementing strictly the sanctions against Yugoslavia. As a result, it lost the equivalent of half of its external debt, a formidable loss for a country paying the heavy social price of a post-communist reform, entailing the closures of loss-making enterprises. Once again, the current developments are causing us painful damage. This is why, for the majority of Serbs, our countries offer no alternative to the communist nationalism of Milosevic. What they have seen in their neighborhood has been democracy of poverty rather than democracy of prosperity. The big issue today is, even before Milosevic is gone, are we ready to act so as to prevent the emergency of another Milosevic? Our concern today is not only when and how peace will be brought to the Balkans, but also what kind of peace it will be. In this context, initiatives like the Shifter Plan and the Stability Pact for Southeastern Europe are extremely important and stimulating for us. We look upon them as an opportunity to open up new horizons and offer a new historic perspective for the region. It has always been my firm conviction that no peacemaking or peacekeeping effort can be successful unless it is supported by prompt steps for economic stabilization. This is an important lesson from the Second World War. The situation in Kosovo continues to be volatile. New hotbeds of tension are already emerging there. If the military operation is not followed by immediate economic steps, even the humanitarian aspect of such an important international response may be questioned. The key to a lasting peace, stability, and security in Europe lies in the solid strategic investment in the economic reconstruction and development of Southeastern Europe. It offers benefits to all parties concerned. For the business, this means a potential for growth and profit. For the donor states, this is the less costly way compared to paying for military operations or blue helmets. For the people of Yugoslavia, this is a clear signal that it is better to be part of the democratic community, acting in solidarity, than standing up alone and fighting all. For the people of Southeastern Europe, this is a historic chance to transform their fragile democracies from democracies of poverty into democracies of prosperity, and thus speed up the integration processes of the old continent. This transformation will cost a lot of effort by governments and people in Southeastern Europe, no doubt about it, but they will be worthwhile, for they can blend into the global drive for fostering a new political culture and economic environment. Such efforts will be rewarded by the future. I know that against the background of communist dictatorship in Belgrade and the persisting lack of a clear status for Kosovo, my speculations about the global development of our world may not sound equally convincing to all. But I am sure that precisely these globalization processes have contributed to the fall of communism of Eastern Europe. If steered in the right direction, they can prove the best way for Eastern Europeans to cut sooner and at a lesser cost the distance between them and the advanced countries of the Western world. The Kosovo crisis gives us ample food for thought along these lines. The Kosovo crisis has put into perspective the increasing interdependence among states that began to be left to be felt after the fall of the Berlin Wall. Like never before, the problems of the individual state proved of general concern. The international intervention in Kosovo became possible when the state's sovereignty could no longer be used as a smokescreen for individual regimes to act uncontrolled and against the interests of their own nations. After the historic Helsinki Conference of 1975, this issue acquires even greater relevance in the present information age. Modern states today are aware that it is in their own interest to comply with the generally accepted norms of behavior, even if they have to cede some of their national sovereignty. In their turn, the existing international institutions will have to adapt to this changing reality. Third, the Kosovo crisis has proven most cogently that contemporary problems can only be solved successfully by collective efforts. The novelty with Kosovo was that the coalition guaranteed its success by staking on universal values instead of on temporary or purely selfish considerations. The advantage of going with the tide rather than trying to stem it has been proved beyond any doubt. The Balkan countries' actions in creating a belt of security around Belgrade and their efforts to rebuild the region constitute their specific positive share of globalization. The crisis has exposed the existence of nations and elites that take a different stance and are at a different stage of readiness for participation in the globalization effort. Nations failing to see or take advantage of the globalization reduce considerably their chances for the future. On the other hand, nations capable of innovating and absorbing innovation will gain a competitive edge. This is particularly relevant for the countries that were part of the former communist system and are now seeking to carve their niche in this changed world. In contemporary international relations, tensions will continue to rise on the borderline between nations with a divergent attitude to globalization. These are the new dividing lines in the world. For once, they were not imposed, but chosen freely. In this context, the economic reconstruction of the Balkans can be seen as an attempt to involve a whole region in the processes of a globalizing world. The claim for participation in the pact by a number of geographically unrelated countries speaks for itself. Globalization brings both benefits and threats. In order to avoid the pitfalls, the processes of globalization need to be steered with a great sense of responsibility. Globalization, if I may say so, must be democratized. The small states need to be emancipated with respect to the big ones. In this way, the traditional criteria of a country's place in the world, such as territory, population, and natural resources, have largely been replaced by its ability to climb on the bandwagon of globalization. This capacity can and needs to be built and encouraged, and here I see a role for the new elites. This is also a way to manage globalization. For it should not be left to unfold spontaneously, because it has a tendency of spreading beyond the realms of economy and technology and into the sensitive area of culture and traditions. This aspect of it should be subject to a serious international analysis and a new legal regulation, including in areas such as intellectual property protection. Ladies and gentlemen, The dramatic developments in Yugoslavia unfolded at a time when Bulgaria was beginning to emerge from the crisis inherited from the communist past and the socialist former communist government that was in power by the end of 1996. The Bulgarian economy was stabilized and started to grow by 3.5% in 1998 and 2.5% in 1999 at the Kosovo crisis, compared to a negative growth of minus 11% of the GDP for 1996. The expected growth for this year is between 4 and 5%. According to our estimates and those of the international financial institutions, the currency board arrangement has been a success. The Bulgarian currency, the lev, was pegged to the German mark and as of January 1999, to the euro. One lev is equal to one German mark. The currency board maintains high levels of currency reserves, thus fending off any currency crisis. Our banking system is stable. The average annual rate of inflation for 1999 was around 2%, in 1998, 1%, compared to 311% in 1996. Projections for the years 2000 and 2001 are for a sustainable low rate of inflation. Interest rates are at the level of the advanced countries, that is 5-6% yield on short-term government bonds. The basic interest rate of the Bulgarian National Bank dropped from 435% in late 1996 to 5.4% in the end of 98 and 4.2% in January 2000. Our budget, thank you. Our budget has been balanced for a second year running. The budget deficit for 1999 did not exceed 1%. Bulgaria has been servicing regularly its external debt and will continue to do so. We have been implementing an ambitious infrastructure reform program. The pace of privatization has radically increased. Over 50% of the state assets are already in private hands, compared to 7.5% in 1996. Currently, the private sector generates over 70% of GDP. Our cooperation with the IMF, the World Bank, and other international financial institutions has been developing successfully. We get support from the European Union, the European Community, and the donor states. We have been working on joint projects with the European Bank for Reconstruction and Development and the European Investment Bank. Bulgaria was relatively quick in redirecting its foreign trade priorities towards the European Union, where presently 60% of our exports go. We are a full member of the World Trade Organization and CEFTA, the Central European Free Trade Agreement. In February 2000, we started negotiations for full membership in the European Union, and we have already closed 4 chapters, including education, professional training, and young people, science and research, medium and small enterprises, and common foreign policy and security. We will continue to work on the criteria for accession both to the European Union and NATO and be a generator of security and cooperation in Southeastern Europe. This is our key priority. Rallied behind it now are all political forces in the country. This is how we hope to attain our national objectives. It is important to note that Bulgaria achieved its success of the past 3 years in the context of the dramatic developments in neighboring Yugoslavia. Just look at the map of Europe. For 9 years now, between us and Western Europe, has been a Yugoslavia torn by conflict, the culmination of which was Kosovo. For 9 years now, our direct transit link to Western Europe has practically been cut off. The whole region was deprived of its main geographic advantage, its crossroads location between Western Europe, Central Asia, and the Middle East. Navigation on the European River Danube has been obstructed. The wars in Yugoslavia have made foreign investors extremely cautious to the region. Thus, Bulgaria has failed to attract sufficient fresh capital, something we badly need. If we look in perspective, unless the isolation of Southeastern Europe is overcome, it will be impossible to go ahead with the strategic trade corridor TRASECA, designed to bring the oil, cotton and silk of Central Asia to Europe and take the high tech of the advanced world to the promising markets of the former Soviet republics there. In order to achieve all this, the Balkans need more than ever before peace, stability and long-term prospects for their future development. This reminds me of something President Truman said nearly 50 years ago that has a special relevance for our region today. I quote from memory, "The goal should not be peace in our time, but peace for all times." Thank you. Thank you for your attention.
Our thanks to His Excellency Peter Stoyanov, President of the Republic of Bulgaria, for his remarks here today. And now William Draper, Chairman of the World Affairs Council of Northern California, will conduct the question and answer session.
Thank you very much, Wendy. And Mr. President, now we have some serious questions for you, but my wife couldn't be here, and she wanted to know when we were in Bulgaria for one day, we lost our baggage on the way in, but you found it before we left about 18 hours later, right? And she wants to know how you did that. It was amazing. Anyway, we had a wonderful visit. I want to tell you that I'm one of the few people that have been to Bulgaria, probably in San Francisco or California, and it is a beautiful country, and your wine is wonderful. And now I'm going to ask you some harder questions. You haven't had to. Now, we've had a negotiation here as to whether I should ask the questions in Bulgarian and he should answer in English or the other way around. He has already lost the total negotiation because his speech was so excellent in English that I hope you'll answer these questions in English. The first one, Mr. President, can you please comment on Bulgaria's application to join the European Union? What steps does the Bulgarian government take towards making this happen and soon? And what is your prediction for when?
Okay. You understood my English is not brilliant. You can ask your questions in English, of course, but I prefer to answer in Bulgarian. Where is Iliana? Okay. Всъщност, този въпрос е може би най-важният въпрос днес в България. Не само какво прави правителството, а какво трябва да правим от тук нататък, за да се присъединим колкото се може по-бързо към Европейския съюз и НАТО.
In fact, this is the most important issue, the most important question for Bulgaria, and I would rather reformulate it, not only what has been what has the Bulgarian government been doing, but what it should done so that we accede to NATO and the European Union as soon as possible.
Най-простият отговор е, ние правим нашите реформи с едно много бързо темпо, много категорично темпо.
The simplest answer is that we have been pressing on with our reforms, conducting our reforms at the fastest possible pace.
Но трябва да призная пред вас, че България трябва да се пребори с още една трудност, която ни стои пред други посткомунистически държави, като Чехия, Полша или Унгария, да речем.
However, I must admit here that Bulgaria is facing another difficulty, which does not countries like the Czech Republic, Poland or Hungary do not face, and it has to overcome this.
За разлика от тези три изброени от мен страни, в Съединените американски щати за България все още обикновената масовата представа е като за най-верния сателит на бившия Съветски съюз.
Unlike the above three countries, the broad public in the United States, for example, perceives Bulgaria still as the staunchest satellite of the former Soviet Union.
Това беше вярно, но същевременно и не съвсем. Затова, защото след Втората световна война България стана част от комунистическата система. Не защото български народ искаше това, а защото такава беше лошата ирония на историята.
This was true, but up to a point, because Bulgaria became a part of the communist system, the Soviet communist system, in the wake of World War II, but it happened not through the will or decision of the Bulgarian people, but because of the irony of history.
Can you imagine after the Second World War, about 185,000 people in Bulgaria were in concentration camps during the communist regime? And I know this not only from the history, I know it from my father too. He was in a such concentration camp too. Затова съм тук, за да променя представата на колкото се може по-широки кръгове от политическите и бизнес среди на Съединените американски щати. Бих искал те да знаят, че България е държава, която има стари демократични ценности, че България е държава, която ще направи всичко възможно да се върне там, откъдето насила беше откъсната след Втората световна война. Семейство на европейските държави и на евроатлантическата общност.
This is why I'm here today, because I would like to change this perception of Bulgaria and to get this message across to the largest possible circle of politicians and business people in this country. I would like them to know that Bulgaria is a country with old democratic traditions. Bulgaria is a country which would like to return to the family of democratic nations, the family of European and Euro-Atlantic democratic nations, where it used to belong before it was wrenched by force in the way after World War II.
Аз мисля, че това е по-важно от цифрите. А иначе по отношение на цифрите, ние ще ги подобрим в още по-добри темпове. Така всъщност ще стигнем по-бързо и до Европейския съюз и НАТО.
And this is something much more important than the figures and the percentages and the statistics. As to those, we will try to increase them and improve them at an even faster pace. This is the only way for us to accede to the European Union and NATO we would like to as soon as possible.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. Another question. How strong is the Communist Party in your country, and how difficult does it make your job?
Аз почти отговорих на този въпрос.
Well, I have partly answered this question already.
България, като във всяка посткомунистическа държава, премина през свои сложни периоди и като във всяка посткомунистическа държава имаше хора, които се подаваха на така наречената посткомунистическа носталгия. Впрочем, то съществуваше и в бившата Източна Германия.
Like most post-communist countries, Bulgaria underwent its post-communist stages or phases of development, and like most other countries, it had its people, its group, group of people who were felt prey to the post-communist nostalgia. As a matter of fact, this did not bypass the East Germans.
На мен ми се струва, че в България преболедувахме тази болест.
However, it seems to me that we are past this stage already. We have overcome this sickness.
Съобщението, което мога да направя тук е, че онова, което става в България, е невъзвратим процес. Връщане назад към старата система, към старото мислене повече не може да има.
The good news I have to you here is that this process is irreversible. There can be no return to what used to be, to the old communist system in Bulgaria.
I think we're all very glad to hear that. Why has privatization been so successful in Bulgaria when they've had so much difficulty in Poland, Slovakia, and Hungary, according to this question?
Страхувам се, дали не съм говорил малко нескромно в първата част от своята реч. Аз не исках да противопоставя нашите успехи на успехите на Полша, Чехия или Унгария.
I'm afraid I may have sounded a little bit unmodest in my the first part of my speech. I never meant to compare or contrast our achievements to those of Poland, the Czech Republic or Hungary.
Напротив, аз мисля, че в известен смисъл тези три държави имаха по-добър успех, защото първо бяха по-добре познати в Западна Европа и в Съединените Американски щати.
The country is true. Those countries, I believe, were more successful. For one reason, they were better known in the world outside the United States or Western Europe.
На второ место, защото тези три държави се намират от западната страна на Югославия и в този смисъл инвестициите там се струват всеки му, че са по-перспективни, докато солидните инвеститори чакаха в, да се умиротвори ситуацията в Югоизточна Европа преди да дойдат в България със своите солидни капитали.
But there is something else to this. These three countries happen to lie on the good side of Yugoslavia, that is on the west side of Yugoslavia, unlike Bulgaria, and the investors were earlier to go and invest there rather than coming to our country, where they waited to see, waited for the situation to pacify before they decided to come over and bring their cash.
Така че ние имахме достатъчно трудности по време на нашата приватизация и ще продължаваме да имаме, но на мен ми се струва, че това, което направихме за последните три години, се дължеше на категоричната политическа воля, която имаха парламент, правителство и президент, за да сторят това.
Therefore, we do have our difficulties in privatizing and we will continue to encounter difficulties along our path. But the unquestionable success that we have achieved during the past 3 years is due to the concerted actions of parliament, government and president and the people, of course.
Thank you. There are several questions about the incentives that you provide for investors to come into Bulgaria, and I thought you might want to comment on that. My investment is a very good painting that my wife loves, and it's right across the street on Knob Hill in my her apartment, and it's a beautiful painting, and I know you have many other things to sell. Maybe you'd like to talk about
it. Няма да мога с няколко изречения да изваря цялата сергия на българските възможности, които имаме за приватизация, но веднага бих искал да отбележа, че България има много интересно за приватизиране химическа индустрия, България има много интересна хранително-вкусова индустрия, България има много интересна агрикалчер индустрия. Така.
Well, I'm afraid I will not be able to open up, display the whole list of products we can offer and sell all the products we have to you here, all the products in Bulgaria, which Bulgaria offer. However, briefly, we have a very well-developed chemical industry, pharmaceuticals, the food and beverages industry, and a good agriculture, agribusiness.
По времето на комунизма България получи с едно предимство, имаше един много добър шанс в рамките на съветската система. На България по разделението на труда се падна, се занимава с компютърни технологии. В резултат на това в България има много добре обучено компютърно поколение и техническо и на инженерно ниво.
And we have one major competitive advantage, which was through an irony of our development under communism within the Soviet system, we were assigned a specialization in computer engineering, computers, as a result of which we have a very good class of computer technicians and engineers, very, very well-trained computer generation for Bulgaria.
That's exactly what your wife told me just a minute ago at lunch.
We just spoke about it already.
Yeah, we did. What is the current government's feelings regarding the restoration of a constitutional monarchy?
It is the most difficult question. I am joking. Аз не мисля, че това е най-важната тема, която вълнува българското общество или българските политици.
I don't believe this is the theme number one, which is weighs on the mind of Bulgarian society or Bulgarian politicians.
Половината Европа е монархическа, другата половина е републиканска и от това като че ли не зависи в най-голяма степен начина по който живеят гражданите на Европа.
Let's take Europe, for example, Western Europe. Half of it is are monarchies, half of them are republics, but in no way does it affect the way people live in these countries.
Така че днес ние имаме далеч по-важни задачи, отколкото да умуваме по въпроса дали да си върнем конституционната монархия или не. Когато решим всичко останало и не остане време, това би могло да бъде десертът на нашите интелектуални размишления.
Therefore, at the moment we are too preoccupied with many other vital issues rather than brooding over the issue of whether to be a monarchy or to become a republic. When we have resolved and addressed the most important vital issues, we may, as a dessert, come to think about this too.
There, Mr. President, there were several questions about the minorities in Bulgaria and how you're the Turkish minority and others, and how you're approaching that problem.
Вече говорих за това. Ако има нещо, с което българите могат да се гордеят днес, то е, че сме изключително толерантна нация към всички религии и всички етнически малцинства.
There's something I did mention in my speech already. If there's something the Bulgarians can truly be proud of, this is that we are an absolutely and truly tolerant nation with respect to any ethnic group or any religion.
Преди около 20 години комунистическият режим се отнесе изключително репресивно към турското малцинство в България и това е факт.
About 20 years ago, the communist regime then in power did launch a repressive campaign against the Turkish minority in the country, which is an unquestionable fact.
Но комунистите се отнасяха по толкова брутален начин и към своите сънародници българите, част от които бяха изпратени по концентрационни лагери.
But come to think of it, the communists were just as repressive and cruel to their other compatriots, some of whom were sent and crushed in concentration camps.
В последните 10 години в България отсъстват каквито и да са етнически конфликти. Турското малцинство е представено със свои депутати в парламента, има свои кметове, на високи административни постове са арменци, евреи.
During the past 10 years after the change, the Bulgarian ethnic minorities have an equal playing field with all other Bulgarians. The Turkish minority, for example, is very well represented in all walks of life, on all levels of government. They are Turkish members of parliament, they are mayors, they are Turks, Armenians, Jews in high administrative places, they are civil officials, senior officials.
Търси с очи къде е истинският пример за това съжителство. Моя главен имидж мейкър е всъщност етническа туркиня. Тя е тук с мен.
I'm looking around this hall to find out where the main breathing and walking example of this is, and this is in fact Mrs. Terzieva, my public relations secretary, Mrs. Terzieva over there. She's a Turk.
Now there are a few other business questions. One has to do with the says, why does the government of Bulgaria not give greater support to small business, such as tax breaks or other assistance? And while you're answering that, we might want to comment on another question that says that telecommunications is the most important sector in Europe, and it goes on that at the same time, BIK, is that correct, BIK, is the only company in the region that has not been privatized. Why is that?
Преди малко говорих за забележителната според нас и според всички наши приятели макроекономическа и финансова стабилизация в България.
A moment ago I did speak about the remarkable, according to us, of course, and some of our friends and those observing Bulgaria, the remarkable macroeconomic and financial stabilization which the country has achieved.
Трябва да призная, че ние не успяхме да се възползваме до край от тази стабилизация, за да увеличим още повече своите икономически показатели.
However, I must admit here, we failed to use its advantages so as to improve even further our economic indicators.
Една от причините е обективна. Това без съмнение е войната в Югославия, която икономически ни носи всекидневни загуби.
There is one objective reason, clearly. This is the war in Yugoslavia, which brings us losses, economic losses every day.
Другата причина е това, че ние не успяхме на време да оценим и да компенсираме липсата на големи чуждестранни инвестиции с засилено внимание към малки и дребен бизнес.
The other is our failure to assess in due time, to see in due time, and to compensate for the lack of major foreign investment by emphasizing and encouraging the small and medium enterprises, local small and medium enterprises.
Бяхме увлечени от мисълта да приватизираме и да създаваме големи предприятия, без да си дадем сметка, че гръбнака на една икономика, а и на едно гражданско общество е всъщност средния бизнес.
Because carried away by the ambition of bringing over, creating and bringing over big investors, creating big enterprises, we simply overlooked the simple fact that the backbone of an economy are the small and medium enterprises, and so is the civil society.
В последната година променяме това свое гледаще драстично.
We have modified this view dramatically during the past year.
Сделката с българска телекомуникационна компания беше почти финализирана преди около един месец, но под въздействието на българското обществено мнение правителството не я сключи.
The deal about the deal for the privatization of Bulgarian telecommunications company was in the pipeline and about to be concluded a month ago, but under pressure from the Bulgarian public opinion, this was stopped.
На хората им се струваше, че цената на тази сделка не е достатъчно висока и че националните интереси на страната не са достатъчно защитени. Не забравяйте, че една телекомуникационна компания национална има значение за националната сигурност на една държава.
The public opinion was thought that the price for which it was to go was not good enough, not high enough, that the national interest was not duly protected, and we shouldn't forget that the national telecommunications company is a major national concern and also closely connected with national security problems.
Много бързо стартирахме нова процедура за приватизация и аз надявам тя да превърши достатъчно бързо и с достатъчно добри резултати.
However, meanwhile, under pressure from the public opinion, we have restarted the privatization procedure, and I'm hopeful that it will be over soon and with a better result, of course.
Самия процес на приватизация, на посткомунистическа приватизация, е изключително деликатен.
The very process of post-communist privatization is a very delicate, very sensitive issue indeed.
От една страна всички очакват предприятията да бъдат продадени на колкото се може по-висока цена. Но забавянето и очакването на по-висока цена може да доведе до други непредвидими лоши последици.
On the one hand, it is everybody's expectation that any enterprise should be sold at the highest possible price and we should wait long enough for the highest bidder. But we overlook the fact that this waiting may cause other unforeseeable and negative consequences with it.
От друга страна, цената според мен не винаги е най-важната част в една приватизационна сделка. Другите условия, като запазване на работни места, като нови инвестиции, като опазване на околна среда, са не по-важни условия.
On the other hand, another fact tends to be overlooked. The price may not always be the most important thing in a deal, a privatization deal. Other such collateral aspects, such as the preservation of jobs, care for the environment, reinvestment and others seem to be no less important.
Но така или иначе, всяка приватизация прави правителството, което я прави, лесна мишена за критики от всички страни.
At any rate, privatization makes the government that is engaged in it an easy target for any criticism coming from any quarter.
And several questions have come up relating to the known corruption that occurs in the business sector and public sector in Russia. Has that been a major problem in Bulgaria, and would you like to comment?
Корупцията е проблем, който съществува навсякъде в света, както в демократичните страни, така и в тоталитарните режими.
Corruption is an ubiquitous problem. It's a problem that you can meet everywhere, both in democracies and in the authoritarian regimes.
Бих казал така. Разликата между демократичните държави и недемократичните е, че в демократичните се борят срещу корупцията непрекъснато.
The difference I see between democratic countries and non-democratic countries in this respect is that in the democratic countries there is an ongoing fight against corruption.
В България това е много актуална тема.
This is a very relevant topic for Bulgaria, as you certainly know.
Когато започнахме процеса на раздържавяване на нашата собственост, бях убеден, че без корупция няма да се мине, защото това раздържавяване се прави от хора, от чиновници, от администратори.
When the process of what we call denationalization of state ownership was launched in this country, we are sure that we can now bypass this problem simply because this is in the hand. The very procedure of denationalizing, of privatizing, is in the hands of officials, the administration.
Въпросът е да се бори с корупцията непрекъснато и то много категорично, защото ако корупцията е тежко явление за страните с изградена демокрация, то е два пъти по-тежко за страните в преходен период. За това, защото могат да поставят под съмнение самите устои на една демократична държава. И за това, ако има нещо, с което много категорично в България и ние се борим, то е срещу корупцията и в защита на човешките права. Това са двете неща, които според мен са много важни за една прохождаща демокрация.
Therefore, we must fight corruption very firmly and by all means, because there is, as I said, corruption in any state, but it's even worse for countries in transition if we, such as we are, because if it's a negative phenomenon for a developed democracy, it's even worse, doubly worse for a country in transition. There, it raises a question over the very foundations of democracy. And this is why we are trying firmly, we must firmly fight against it. Corruption and human rights, these are the two most important things on the agenda of Bulgaria's government at the moment. Fighting corruption, of course.
Yeah, very. That's a very good correction. Fighting corruption. There have been several questions that have indicated that many people would like to visit Bulgaria, and several in the audience have. For example, one says, several visits to your country have convinced me that it's a desirable tourist destination. However, Bulgaria has closed its tourist offices in London, in New York, and basically they say, what's going on?
Една от нишите, в които виждам бъдещето развитие на България, е развитието на туризма.
Tourism is one of the niches for Bulgaria where I can see a great future, a great promise.
Отстъпихме от завоювани позиции в последните години, имайки предвид и закриване на туристически представителства.
We have lost ground in this area during the past few years and the closing of our agencies abroad, some of our agencies abroad is a part of that.
Добрата новина е, че тази година за първи път имаме извънредно увеличаване на туристическия поток в страната, не бивало в последните 5-6 години.
However, the good news is that this year we have had an unprecedented stream influx of foreign tourists, which are uncomparable to previous years.
И залагаме вече не просто на природния, а на културния туризъм, на историческия туризъм. В България има какво да се види. В България има културни паметници, които съперничат на тези в Гърция или в Италия.
We have taken a slightly different approach to tourism now, and we rely not only on the cultural amenities, the scenery and the beauty of the country, but also, on the natural amenities and the scenery, but also on culture, cultural values and historical sites. In this respect, Bulgaria is not inferior to countries like Greece or Italy.
Църквата, която е в двора на моята президентска сграда, е ни повече, ни по-малко от четвърти век от новата ера, може би една от най-старите християнски църкви в Европа. Струва си, когато човек дойде на гости на българския президент, да запали една свеж в тази църква. Това е също част от туризма, част от атмосферата на България.
A case in point, in the backyard of the office of the president, there is an ancient church dating back to the 4th century AD, a former Roman church, one of the oldest Christian basilicas. And indeed, it could be a part of the tourist attraction, a tourist itinerary. It's worth, when some of you visits my office, to go and light a candle in the back, in that church behind it.
Good. Here's an interesting question, and I hope you'll take some time to answer it, as you've been so good on answering everything else. How did you decide to get involved in politics? And we heard your bio, but what was your life like under communism?
Аз вече казах, израснах в семейство, което беше изключително антикомунистическо настроено и такова беше моето възпитание.
I did mention briefly already, I grew up in a family with very strong anti-communist traditions and this was how I was brought up and how I was educated.
Разбира се, по времето на комунизма аз не бях дисидент, не бях и герой. Затова и влезах в политиката, да мога след падането на комунизма поне да бъда достоен човек, да работя за своята страна.
Indeed, under communism I was no dissident, I was no hero, but I eagerly joined the change and joined politics after the change because I wanted to be a worthy individual and to do something for my country.
And was it difficult to have your beliefs and still live under that kind of a system?
Трудно ли беше все вашите убеждения? Преживяхте ли тези трудности?
Разбира се, че беше трудно. Затова, защото всеки ден трябваше да живеем двойствен живот. Единият живот, така както ни го налагаше комунистическата система, а другият живот, така както ние си го мислихме, това, което ние чувствахме.
If you're asking me whether it was difficult under communism, indeed it was, because we had to lead a double life, a dual life. One was the way we were expected to live asked to live under communism. The other was the way we wanted to, the way we, in pursuit of our own beliefs.
Аз мисля, че няма достатъчно историческа дистанция за да се изследва в психологически смисъл всичко това, което донесе комунизма на народите, които живееха под неговото иго.
I'm afraid historical distance, the vantage point, it's not long enough to allow us to grasp fully what we suffered under communism, all the consequences of it. Psychological.
50 години след рухването на нацистската държава все още се говори срещу нацизма. Все още има твърде много студии и изследвания, посветени на тази тема. Някакси 10 години след падането на Берлинската стена, ние като че ли забравихме какво беше комунизма.
Because 50 years after the end of Nazism, there still is a lot of talk about it. There are a lot of studies and writings about it. Whereas 10 years after the fall of the Berlin Wall, we seem to have forgotten what it used to be before.
И ако има нещо много важно в психологически смисъл за моята страна, когато тя желая да стане член на Европейския съюз и НАТО, то е да бъде забравен най-после този така наречен Ялтински синдром. Да бъде ясно, че народи като България ще бъдат в онова семейство, в онази политическа общност, която желаят, а не по желанието на велики сили или в резултат на сложни политически пазарлъци, каквито бяха след Втората световна война.
There's something very important psychologically. If now my country would like to become a member of the European Union and NATO, it's because it so much wants that this, what we call the Yalta syndrome, is already forgotten and put behind our backs. We no longer wish to join one group of nations or other because the trading, the bargain of the great powers or the trade-off between the great powers as it happened after World War II, but because of the sovereign wish and choice of the people.
Mr. President, I think that you have shown today your leadership, and if Bulgaria does as well as in the next few years as you've done today, I think you're not going to have any problems. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Just
Let me say before you all leave that our thanks go to President Stoyanov, the President of the Republic of Bulgaria, for joining us here today. We also thank our audience in San Francisco, as well as those listening on the radio. Now, this meeting of the Commonwealth Club of California and the World Affairs Council of Northern California is adjourned.